listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get to work with the free KSLX app.
Sounds good and loud, huh?
100.7 KSLX.
As we kick off Monday of a short week, and we have Mark and Neanderthal's 10,000 for the troops going on. One of the great things, I mean, we love it every year, when you teachers have your kids do some letters in your classes, it always results in great stuff.
Sure, yeah. Your kids have no filter. It's beautiful.
And there's a certain wonderful randomness to the letters that they write to service members overseas. They're all, you know, very good-hearted. I think, you know, everybody loves a nice, encouraging message.
Sure.
But I think soldiers really appreciate the ones that come from kids. And we've, over the past couple of years, had many of the local newscasters, reporters, etc., read letters for us that actually came from kids here in the Valley.
And friend of the show, Kaylee O'Kelly from ABC 15, read one for us. And it is even more adorable in her sweet, dulcet tones.
Hi there, it's Kaylee O'Kelly from ABC 15 Mornings. And here's a letter to a soldier from a Valley Elementary School student. It's all part of Mark and Neanderthal's 10,000 for the troops. Dear service member, what was your fourth grade teacher's name? I'm 9 years old and I celebrate Christmas.
Yay.
What's your favorite hobby? Mine is probably ice skating. You have a favorite color? Mine are pink, purple, blue, and green, and of course, red, white, and blue.
Sure.
I love reading. Do you like to read? What's your favorite animal? Mine? Probably unicorns. Yep, I know they're not real, but I like to pretend that they are. Thank you for your service. Sincerely, Angelica.
There you go. See, Kaylee O'Kelly making it sound. And again, random thoughts just scrolled down.
Love it.
Yeah, no real rhyme or reason to it, just fun.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the great thing about it. If you are getting together with folks for Thanksgiving this year, of course, you know, they recommend against it. But if you are, you know, try and bring some blank cards. Fill them out and then drop them off in one of the drop-off boxes. You can find them all over the Valley of the Sun. Just go to KSLX.com, and very, very many thanks to the Military Assistance Mission who organize all the logistics and get those cards overseas.
Yeah, if you missed any of the information on where you can drop off any of those cards, you can always check out KSLX.com.
So let's do Mark and Neanderthal's story time, shall we? I think we have Sue on the phone.
Good morning, Sue. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are well, and thank you for your blatantly feigned concern. Sue, we have two stories for you that occurred over the weekend. Which one do you think is more interesting for the audience to hear? Mark's is?
I had a strange encounter with some poultry, live poultry over the weekend. Live poultry.
And I have a crisis in the Neanderthal household that could result in my death. I'm not sure how to deal with it. Which one do you think is more important?
Oh, wow. Well, it's really tough this morning because, you know, Paul, I do appreciate your situation. And, oh, my God, I don't want anything bad to happen to you.
Thank you.
But this is Thanksgiving this week, man.
I understand.
Talk about the bird.
No, I get it. I get it. No,
all right. About the bird.
No, all thank right. you. You know, thank you, Sue, for your feigned concern twice during this phone conversation.
Did I feign it well?
Yes.
You did.
When
you did.
I die, I hope you remember me fondly.
I'm benefiting from the timeliness here.
All right. So what do you got?
So my wife and I generally walk on Sunday morning up towards, there's a Whole Foods up there, and we go in right at the front of the store. There's a coffee thing. So, you know, we go up there, walk with the dog, and get coffee. So as we're walking, we always pass this one house that's sort of by itself. It's not part of a subdivision. It's just an old property. Used to have a very small house on it. Somebody bought it a few years ago, turned it into like a nice one-story ranch house, very nice piece of property, and they're on the corner. So as we're turning the corner, I look and I notice this chicken. There's a chicken wandering around in the front yard. And there's nothing in the front yard to prevent that chicken from walking out into the street and getting mowed down. And there's two fairly busy streets right around it. So
sure.
I'm like, geez, maybe they got chickens in the backyard. They might keep chickens in the backyard. One of them somehow escaped. Can they fly?
They can't fly, but they can hop and sort of stay up there for a while. You know what I mean?
So he had to get a running start to get over
that. I would think
because there's a gate to the backyard.
Yeah, I mean, did you not see Rocky? It was a bitch for him to try and catch that chicken.
So anyway, Sue, what happens next is, you know, I'm like, you know, maybe we should go. I go knock on the door. I ring the bell. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning, so it was a little weird.
Yeah, that's not fun.
And
3 o'clock in the morning getting that call.
And I've got sunglasses and a mask on, so I pull my sunglasses up, I pull my mask down, just so they know, okay, it's, you know, who, this is the guy at the front door.
A burglar.
Yeah, you know. And so as the woman, I see her through the frosted glass walking towards the door, and I see her reach over to a table right as she opens the door, and I'm thinking, might be a gun. Wasn't a gun. She put on a mask, actually, which I thought was amazingly courteous because it's her house.
Certainly, yeah.
So anyway, I say, hey, by the way, there's a chicken in your front yard. I don't know if you have chickens in the back or what. And she goes, oh, no, that's a feral chicken. We feed him once in a while, so he always comes around. Yeah, it was very strange because I'm thinking, how does a feral chicken survive out there in the world all alone? And she says, we feed him. He seems to know not to wander into the street and get hit by a car. So he's around every once in a while. Don't worry about him. So,
alrighty then.
Sue, I'd like you to be the first customer at my new restaurant, KFC, Kentucky Feral Chicken.
Yeah, that is something right there. Feral chickens are not something I'm used to. There was a restaurant in Sacramento that I used to go to that there were chickens in the front yard, and we thought they were feral to that area of Sacramento, apparently.
Yeah, this was weird because it's just a solo chicken.
That's weird.
Out there on its own, doing what it can to make its way in the world. And this woman is nice enough to feed it, I guess. But she said, we feed it once in a while, and we don't worry about it otherwise.
It's Quiet Chan chicken is what it is, making its way through Chandler. Yeah.
So, Sue, there's your story. We appreciate you checking in. Appreciate you listening.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. You gave me a great laugh. I've never heard of a feral chicken before.
That was a first for me also.
Yeah.
It was. We hear feral dogs, feral cats, all that stuff. We rarely hear a feral chicken.
Yeah. But you know what's going to happen now? There's going to be the chicken murders in Chandler. And you're going to find out that there's a psycho chicken.
Yep.
See what I just did there?
Psycho chicken.
Well done.
Just say.
All right. Okay, anyway, appreciate you listening.
There
you go. There goes Sue.
So that is a great story. Yeah, it was just.
Yeah, I don't think those feral chickens in Sacramento were feral. I think they were kept by the restaurant.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Part of the ambiance.
Yeah, I don't know that they just hung out in the neighborhood, but.
It's a weird year. We got a weird Thanksgiving coming up. We have turkey stock starting on Wednesday with 4 days of live music from the Arizona Dust Bowl. And if you have a suggestion for that, you can use the KSLX app. There's the Your Voice feature. So
33% of parents say family holiday gatherings are worth the risk of COVID-19. Can you imagine that?
A lot of people are just going ahead with normal stuff.
A third of Americans are still don't care. They're gonna continue to do what they do on Thanksgiving, and they'll be damned if they get a disease or not.
You know, some people are just like, hey, I'd rather. What's the Howard Cunningham used the phrase in Happy Days? I'd rather live now than survive later. When they were thinking about building a bomb shelter in the backyard.
That is incredibly dark. That's a dark reference for Happy Days.
Yeah,
maybe the darkest reference in Happy Days history.
But there's all kinds of suggestions this year about what you do for Thanksgiving to make it safer.
Okay.
There are some that are so insane. It's like bring your own food and drinks. Then why not just stay home?
Right. Yeah. Imagine if you just show up with your own bag of takeout. And
it's
kind of
rude.
Yeah, my mom would punch you in the face if you. I slaved over a hot stove all day and you brought your own food?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I mean, this one makes sense. Have your guests use hand sanitizer. You know, have
hand sanitizer.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And like serving canned drinks or something like that so people aren't sharing the same glasses and that kind of a deal. I get that.
Here's one. This recommendation comes from an article. I swear this is legitimate.
Okay.
Ask guests to avoid contact with other people for 14 days in advance of coming over. I don't like anybody that much that I would do that for them. Come on. 14 days?
Well,
you got to quarantine yourself so you can go over somebody else's house?
I guess I should thank you, Mark, because you and I are in contact now. I cannot visit anybody.
Right.
Now, I don't have any family or anything like that, but if somebody invites me to Thanksgiving dinner, I can go, nope, can't. Haven't quarantined for 14 days. Check the CDC website. Sorry.
That's a tough one to fulfill.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I don't even know that that's possible.
They also recommend.
That means everybody would have had to self-isolate. But this would have been good information to have 11 days ago.
Exactly. They also recommend keeping music down low so that people don't have to shout to be heard. And I guess that is from they don't, you know, if you shout more, you spray more spittle. And that's a bummer for me because we always start off with Cowboys from Hell from Pantera.
Well, that's a family tradition.
Yeah,
sure.
And then we move into a Mastodon's Blood Mountain side one. So And well, we crank it, man. We crank it. Yeah, it's a divine family tradition.
I'm not sure you understand, but after the Thanksgiving meal, it was very customary to gather around the stereo and sing to Marilyn Manson's Christmas album.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
fantastic holiday favorites.
No, some of these are tough to do. I mean, yes, you can keep your music down. You can keep the hand sanitizer. The other stuff is difficult.
It's funny you mentioned keeping the music down thing. My next door neighbor, I think, I would have to assume based upon the volume of the music that I heard at before 8 o'clock in the morning yesterday, was having some sort of a religious experience, or maybe he was just getting all the loud music out of the way so that he could keep it down on Thanksgiving.
Maybe.
I'm not sure, but it was ridiculous, the amount of gospel music. I actually went out into the backyard with my iPad to try and get a voice memo to send to you and Dave, our program director, and Guido, just to go, this is what I woke up to this morning.
That's funny. Just a few days away from Thanksgiving. We'll do turkey stock here starting Wednesday at 100.7 KSLX. Okay, so why the scratched up, what is it, just one arm? Your one arm is scratched
up. It's my right arm. It looks like I might have to go see a crisis center because they might be concerned about it.
Yeah.
But look, if I'm trying to end it all right here with scratching myself like that, I'm doing it wrong.
Too high up on the arm there.
Not only that, but the angles are just completely all off. What I'm talking about is I was assaulted by a shrubbery.
Yeah. And so, it's a wicked one.
Yeah, now here's the thing. In my front yard, I have several bushes, all right, that have become a haven for feral cats.
Okay.
All right. One such bush has become so overgrown that I've decided to go after it. You know those bushes? They're beautiful. They're green, and they have like these beautiful like fuchsia plumage.
I know.
It's called a bougainvillea.
Beautiful, beautiful plant. It really is.
No, it's not. It's Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors is what it is.
It's nasty. It is. They have those wicked thorns all over them.
Yes. I didn't know that there was any other bush other than a rose bush that would have those kind of thorns. So the good news is I grabbed a pair of work gloves and went out there to try and trim the thing back. Now, here's the thing. Once you get a bougainvillea that's so overgrown that you have to trim it back, you can't trim it back and leave any of the plumage on it because the flowers are so far out on the branches that you, by trimming it back, it basically now looks like I've killed the bush.
No, you got to go all out with it. The bougainvillea is as difficult to trim as it is to spell.
Yes. Yeah, not easy. If you look up bougainvillea, that's actually, and it's funny because I sent you a note saying, hey man, I'm working in the front yard. Don't be alarmed when I come in all scratched up from the bougainvillea. And I actually had to Google bougainvillea. I hit copy and paste to put it in the email to you to let you know what was going on there.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciate good spelling.
You'll notice only one arm is scratched up because the other arm was holding the hedge clipper.
Yeah.
I had one of those electric hedge clippers because I'm not going into a bougainvillea with a pair of loppers. That's just, I'm going in. That's like bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It is, yeah. The bougainvillea, we've had them, our old house here, we had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And that is a hardy plant. I would call the bougainvillea the Steven Seagal of the shrubbery world in that it is hard to kill.
And somewhat fat if you don't keep an eye on it.
Yes, it gets bigger right before your very eyes. I have literally trimmed back a bougainvillea to nothing.
Right.
And I came out the next day and it was 4 feet tall.
That sounds like very outrageous and specious claim at best.
It happened to me.
No, did it? Yeah. It happened to you.
Well, somebody told me about it.
It happened to them.
Actually, they heard it from somebody else.
They heard it from somebody else.
What are you going to tell me, that I need proof for an outrageous claim?
No, you just have to read it on the internet and somebody will believe it's true.
Damn,
that's
you.
That's all you have to do is just post on the internet and it's all good.
It is true, though. It's a wicked, wicked plant.
That's the thing and I think that's probably why it's in my front yard, because if you go down my street, I live in a relatively, it's like a blue collar, older neighborhood.
Yeah.
You'll notice that all of the houses have these beautiful front yards, except mine, which has a couple of hedges where the cats are hanging out, and one overgrown bougainvillea, which adds a little, it's the only thing that adds color to my front yard at all, whatsoever. That and the dead carcass of a mourning dove that the cats killed that I finally removed over this past weekend.
Yeah. The lesson, be careful with the bougainvillea. They're like a pineapple palm is another vicious, vicious plant, or I should say tree, to cut back.
Yeah, the good news is the bleeding is minimal. I've stopped it. I've cauterized it with a soldering iron.
The acacia tree, another rough one. I want to thank the folks from Earnhardt Auto Centers and NoBull.com for once again paying the postage for $10,000 for the troops. Military assistance mission will send all the things overseas, all the cards, the letters. And thanks to our drop-off locations, not only the Earnhardt dealerships, but Porta Subs, Desert Diamond Casino West Valley, and Law Tigers set up a bunch of motorcycle dealerships. You can go to KSLX.com to find out all about those spots. But we just love the letters from the kids.
Yeah, the letters from the kids, I think, tend to be fun because they are rife with misspelling and grammar errors that are just, like, innocent, obviously. Like, we're not going to be the teacher and correct these things, but they're fun. And when you read them without any interpretation, they're that much cuter.
Yeah.
Because kids have no filter, and they really have no stream of consciousness or thought. They just blurt out whatever they're thinking.
Well, and we don't just want kids' letters.
No,
anybody,
no, no.
And everybody.
Sure, yeah.
But when teachers have their classes do it, especially in elementary schools, it's always fun.
Dear Soldier.
Wait a second, say that again.
Dear Soldier. S-O-L-D-E-I-R. Soldier, sure, I guess. Sure. So we're world travelers here. And this, it says, I thank you, but the I is sort of erased, so they erased it. Thank you for serving our country. Hi, my name is Amy, and my favorite color is light blue. I have a dog named Rocket, and she is a grill.
Girl.
Also, my favorite food is ice cream. I hope you have a good Christmas and a good Thanksgiving. What is your favorite food? Do you have any pets or dogs that help you? Also, I know one person who was in the army. I wonder what you are in. Well, I hoped you enjoyed my letter. Bye. Sincerely, Amy.
Love that. So, yeah. You know, just picture a service member overseas, away from their family. And that's what we do. We send these things over there to cheer them up. They open up an envelope. And you don't have to bother with the envelopes, by the way. All the details are at KSLX.com.
Yeah, we'll take care of all that stuff.
Yeah. They open it up and it says, Dear Soldier, I'm a fourth grader, and I am getting to talk about soldiers. Soldiers help take care of us. I wish I can fly a plane when I grow up and go on a jet, too. And I think that soldiers are awesome, and they have to run and go on something. I don't know what it says.
Go with that.
Soldiers help our state, and they are in the USA. I have a teacher named Mrs. M., and soldiers celebrate Christmas, and it snows there, and soldiers have jackets because it is cold at the soldier's place. And soldiers make people go to the hospitals to heal them. Doctors help the soldiers who got shot from someone, and goodbye because I'm done writing. Sincerely, I don't know what that says, honestly.
Sound it out.
It might be a Zach, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But and anyway.
That only reinforces what I was talking about.
Yeah.
No stream of consciousness, no concept of continuity or anything like that, but adorable. And,
oh, yeah,
and if you're away from your family, I'm sure it warms you up a little bit.
You know what?
So we appreciate anybody that's made any donation of a letter, a card, or anything like that we can send overseas for $10,000 for the troops.
Yeah, just fill it out, you know, as many as you want, and just any kind of encouraging message you want to put in there would be great. You don't have to act like a child. Just be sincere and thank them for serving and tell them a story or something.
Yeah, KSLX.com. You can find out all the information you need from Mark and Neanderthal's $10,000 for the troops. We're going to let him have it in a different way, and that is by decreeing somebody the Mark and Neanderthal dumbass of the day.
All right, then. So I'm not even sure where to start on this one. You may have heard about it.
Maybe the beginning would be a good place.
I can tell you that Australia has been one of those countries that's just been super vigilant about COVID-19 from the start.
Yeah, and they pretty much tamped it down to almost nothing, and then it keeps coming back, and then they tamp it down again.
They haven't messed around with instituting lockdowns, etc. As a result, they've only had 28,000 infections in total, whereas like just the state of Arizona alone has had 300,000 infections.
Wow.
And Australia is like four times as many people as Arizona.
Right. It's so not a big country,
that.
But it's certainly bigger than Maricopa County.
Yeah. So early last week, when a pizza place in Adelaide, Australia, appeared to be a COVID hotspot, authorities were right on it. They interviewed workers there, customers, anybody who'd been in the pizza place. And one customer of the pizza place told contact tracing researchers that he had only gone into the pizza place for a few minutes to pick up a pizza to go. So when this guy came down with COVID, authorities reached a logical conclusion. This must be a very, very powerful and highly contagious strain of COVID.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah. So, Agree with it or not, Australia hasn't been hesitating with this stuff. They shut down all of South Australia, so you're talking about 1.7 million people who are affected by this.
Wow, that is extreme, and yet that's why they've only had 30,000 cases.
Yeah, I mean, we're all looking for the balance. Yeah. Maybe that's not it, but it certainly tamps down the COVID, as you said.
Works for them.
They were like, hey, this guy was only in there for a few minutes, and he got it, so this must be seriously contagious.
Okay.
But after locking down the entire portion of the country, authorities then found out that the guy was actually an employee of the pizza place and had for some reason lied to them.
Oh, no.
He had actually worked numerous shifts leading up to the outbreak and the spread. So for him, getting COVID was not really all that surprising since it was centered in that pizza place.
So he was the super spreader.
I don't know why he lied. I honestly don't, but authorities say they never would have locked down the country had he told them the truth.
Can you imagine if 1.7 million people hated you?
Yes.
Because if he doesn't deserve it, who does?
Yeah, but not that many people hate him, but 1.7 million hate this guy, and they're very upset with him. They removed the lockdown early this past Saturday, and things are back to normal.
That's not a douchebag. This is a douchebag.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
That is Australian for a jerk.
Yeah.
They are investigating how to punish this guy.
Wow.
They got to figure out what rule applies.
Give him COVID. Yeah. Eye for an eye.
Yeah. What rule applies there in that situation?
Yeah.
We know that we can make him the Mark and Neanderthal dumbass of the day.
I think that's a beautiful story you just told.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Sponsored by the new Roadrunner Harley Davidson, that story was. They are at 159th Avenue and McDowell in Goodyear. You'll see the story on the Mark and Neanderthal Facebook page. All right, Monday. On Thursday, you will hear Alice's Restaurant a couple of times, 11 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So you can count on that. Now, this will be a different kind of year for Thanksgiving festivities. Now, I do know that our producer Guido has a large family, all fairly local.
Yeah.
And you guys
all homeschooled.
You guys usually have a massive, like, 40-person Thanksgiving thing, right?
Yeah, 50 or 60 sometimes.
Really?
It's an annual family reunion.
And the CDC is saying in groups of 10 or less, right?
Yeah, so what are you doing? Are you going to this whole big shindig?
You know, I might help set up, help prep for it. But no, I think this might be the first year where we're doing something at the Guido household on our own.
Ooh,
the chicklet is leaving the nest.
Just you and your wife?
And my sister, maybe.
Okay.
It might be like four of us.
That's good.
That's
all right.
About it.
So just a ragtag band of renegades? You're an offshoot.
It's like Battlestar Galactica going on over there.
Yes, yes. You've left the flock. Yeah.
The rebel group. I'm surprised that we haven't been ousted as outcasts already.
Why? Is your family mad because you're not showing up?
Well, and it's like we're very social. Like we're the ones that go around whenever those things happen. We're the ones that go around and not stir the pot, but get people going and talking and
stuff.
You're
the initiators.
And
you're the party family? Is that what you are?
I mean, my sister's she's the social butterfly. And we migrate with her. So, you know.
So,
I, without us being there, I'm not really sure how well it's going to go. It might be kind of tame.
But they're going to do the whole 40 or 50 person thing.
My dad's siblings, he has 8 siblings, and each one of them had like 6 kids. So yeah, it's a fiesta. It's a Thanksgiving fiesta.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not a meet and greet.
No. It's definitely typically pretty loud.
All right. So what if you're there, you're doing your 4 or 5 person thing, and somebody else shows up. Somebody leaves the big. Somebody decides while they're driving over to the big party, they don't want to go there. They want to go to the supposedly COVID safer celebration. What do you do?
Honestly,
do you let them in?
I haven't even thought of that. I hope they would keep their distance, but we'll have to, start.
You on the
cleaning.
front steps with a shotgun and a velvet rope. All right, everybody back. Everybody back.
Carrying around the hand dispenser of hand sanitizer.
I'd recommend a to-go window.
Yeah,
if they do
that
show
might
up,
not be bad.
You don't want to be totally rude and not feeding them. But
now it's like Joe's Barbecue. It's got that window on the sidewalk.
Yeah, you get yourself some strong paper plates and plastic utensils so they can leave. They don't have to worry about hanging around.
Yeah.
Get some Chinette.
Yeah, double up on the cheap, paper products and just go to town.
It's interesting, though, because this is probably a fairly common thing this year. Where you've got families.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody listening right now has gotten into some sort of squabble, an argument with other relatives about whether they should or shouldn't do something, how many people they should have, how they want to split things up. There's all kinds of ramifications.
Well, I mean, that happens every year. There's always the one sister is having a get together. Why come where you have to go to her house this year and not this year? Now it should be much easier, you would think. Because
some parts would be easier because you have an excuse not to go.
But, I guess, yeah.
But that excuse not to go might not work so well with somebody else in the family.
Yeah. So, well, if Thanksgiving is nothing if not about families.
That's right. 480-470-KSLX is the number. Just curious if you're running into that same kind of thing. I'd be curious if there's somebody who's like in a major fight with their family because of this.
Yeah, if you guys are fighting about it, call us. We'd love to exploit your family drama.
That's right.
For our show.
Hope you had a good weekend. We got the turkey this weekend, so it's sitting in the fridge now, taking up all kinds of room.
I have a whole lot of nothing sitting in my fridge right now because I believe my refrigerator has died.
Oh,
yeah.
The fridge?
The freezer for certain. I opened the freezer the other day, and I was grabbing some frozen chicken out to cut up for the dogs, and it was soft, and I was like, oh, no, what's going on here?
That's not a good sign.
And so I went through and I grabbed like a bag of gyoza, dumplings, you know, Chinese pork dumplings, and those were soft, and I grabbed some hamburger, and that was soft. I'm like, oh, no.
You've got, all right, the evidence checks out.
Yeah,
I got a pattern here.
Yeah, I had enough soft meat in my freezer to ascertain that the freezer wasn't working, so I just basically dumped everything, just threw it all out. And then I took a cup, I wanted to see if maybe I hadn't closed the freezer tight.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's just been running for a couple of days, and there'd been an issue with it. So I took a cup of water, a plastic cup of water, in the refrigerator, in the freezer, all day yesterday during football, not frozen.
Not good.
But then frozen this morning.
Weird.
Yeah.
Intermittent. Something's loose or something like that.
Something's not working right. So you know what that means? That means I have to dig into the freezer and pull the refrigerator out from the wall and vacuum back there.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you got to clean everything.
Oh, I don't think there's anything that would make you need to do that. I'm against that. Because
that's Wild Kingdom.
Yeah, that's Wild Kingdom for sure. How long have you lived there?
8 years.
And
never move that fridge.
I'm assuming, never move that
fridge.
So
nope.
There's no way the tenant before you.
Nope.
She did
died
that either.
She died.
You know how she died?
Probably killed by something that lives behind the fridge.
Heart attack, trying to pull the fridge.
I don't have a fridge like yours where I have to change the filter or anything like that. My fridge is just a fridge. You open the fridge, it's cold, and you close the fridge, it's cold. And when you vacuum, you take the vacuum. And look, I've got dogs, so I vacuum every week at least once, if not twice a week. So I vacuum, and I take the vacuum, and I stick it underneath the front of the fridge, and I stick it between the fridge and the wall and all that stuff, and I just do the cursory cleaning. But if the freezer, I've done a little research on the internet, and the freezer, if it's not working, they say that sometimes the fan coils have dust and dirt on it.
Yeah.
And it's not, the compressor's not kicking in, whatever it is, and the first step is to pull the refrigerator out and vacuum and clean the back.
See, shouldn't all that stuff be on the front?
Yes. So what I need is if there's anyone listening right now that has a hazmat suit.
Yeah.
Because 8 years of not moving that, I can't imagine what's living behind there.
Oh, it's going to be nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why can't they just have all that stuff on the front? What would the problem be? I just don't understand.
And as a renter, I'm guessing that maintenance on that refrigerator hasn't exactly been top shelf either.
I mean,
it's an Amana. I don't even know if Amana still makes refrigerators.
They do. They do? Yeah.
All right.
They're part of the larger Whirlpool Corporation.
Oh, okay. Well, wish me luck.
Got a suggestion for you with your refrigerator problem.
Oh, no, okay. My refrigerator situation, my freezer has died.
Yes. And
I got to get in there. I got to dig in there and clean the back of the fridge. That's not going to be fun.
You got to get behind it because the coils and stuff may be filthy. So,
gross.
Yeah, good suggestion here.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, have you guys heard about this guy who was walking his dog? An alligator snatches up the guy's dog and takes it under the water. This guy jumped in, pulled the alligator out to take the dog.
Yep.
I would suggest you call that guy and have him pull your refrigerator out.
Yeah. That guy's kind of a Superman.
Yeah, kind of.
He did save the dog.
If you haven't seen that video, it's a guy in what looks to be either Florida or Louisiana, and his dog is this little cute little brown and white cocker spaniel, which was in the jaws of a smaller alligator. It's not like he jumped in. It's still an alligator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this guy just jumps right into this lake, this little pond, and grabs the alligator and wrenches the dog out of its jaws. I don't know that the alligator was big enough to eat the dog, but it would have certainly dragged him into the water and drowned him.
Yes.
You know,
it had already dragged it under.
Yeah, it's a great story. And then the alligator, you know, he finally gets the dog out of the alligator. The dog runs around, and the dog's okay. Alligator's probably okay, just going hungry for the day.
You know what the dog said when it got released from the jaws? He said, "The struggle is real." Oh my God.
And
so is the struggle with Paul's refrigerator and
that's
freezer.
That'll be interesting. But again, as a renter, who knows? Maybe I'm getting a new refrigerator for Christmas.
Yeah, but you know, you open that freezer, nobody wants soft meat.
Yeah, well. As you know, men of a certain age does become a little bit more common. Not a problem in my house.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get to work with the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.